Amen. Thank you, Christy. Come to Adelaide, they said. It will be fun, they said. They'll be really loud, they said. Can we give Jesus a shout out? Can you show me how loud? Okay, they weren't lying. You're loud. Live life loud. That's what we're here to talk about. Yeah, is anyone excited? Can I ask? Does anyone have a Bible? Does anyone have a Bible that's not on your phone? Oh my God, you're like the champion of the universe. There's two of them. Anyone else got a Bible? One you can touch and kiss. You're very spiritual. Anyone else got a Bible? Now, tell me if you got your Bibles on your phones. Very nice, Generation Z. Very nice indeed. So anyone come from outside of Adelaide today? Heard one person came on a plane? Yeah? You know what? I'm going to zoom into the Bible now, yeah? I'm going to zoom in. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my life. So I'm a little bit older than most of you, but only slightly. I came over when I was 2 years old on a boat as a refugee looking for help with my family because we were in East Timor and war broke out. So we did an SOS and we got a cargo ship's attention that was heading from another country to Australia. And so our family were able to, my mother, my brother and myself were able to get on that cargo ship and get from East Timor where I was born to Darwin and get off Darwin Wharf when I was 2 years old and be rescued and be saved so that we were able to come to Australia as refugees from a boat. So we came over on a boat and it's exciting that we're able to come to Australia and I thank God for that opportunity to be in this blessed nation of the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, yeah? How good is Australia? Let's give Australia a shout out right now. It's a good country. So I made a decision to pursue a really dark, handsome dreadlock guy when I was about 19. We've been married this year for 20 years. He's really gorgeous. Got the man of my dreams. Chased him down to Melbourne when he was drafted into the AFL and played with the Western Bulldogs, the AFL, for about 5 years. Became a footy wife. Got my badge. Did the footy thing in Melbourne where all the stalkers come and just attack you every day. You have to hide from people. They want your autograph and stuff. I mean, they wanted his, but I was there, you know, like. Always there. When I was 28, when I was about 23, made a decision to go to pursue God in a real and meaningful way. I had been going to a Catholic church for a very long time and I attended church and I loved church and I loved this God, but I promise you, in all those days and weeks of going to church for my whole life, I had never once heard God speak back to me. I did not have a relationship with God. I did religion, yeah? And so that worked for a while. And then one day I got really desperate and asked God, if you're real, help me out. Help me out. And I got really serious with God and I made a decision. When I turned 28, God asked me to... He gave me the awesome opportunity and honor to do something incredible for him. He said, take in the kids. So we were able to, as a family, take in 10 Aboriginal, Indigenous, gorgeous, beautiful young men into our family. And so I had a 2 and 4-year-old. Lewis was 4, my son. And we took in the 10. So I went from 2 to 12 overnight. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that at the breakfast tomorrow morning, just about that season and about God and how amazing he is. So for the last 12 years, we've had a family of 15, because after about 10 years, having 12 wasn't enough and I went again. So that took us to 13. She's now 5. So I've got a 5, 14, and Lewis is turning 17, plus the 10. So we're feeding, I cook for about 15 every day. So coming to Adelaide's been good too, just to have a little break from all the cooking. So if you see me, laughing and sort of thinking, is she a bit crazy? Hey, I could be. I cook and clean a lot, you know, like it's hot up there. There could be elements of weirdness and stuff. It's all good. But I'm here because I want to talk to you tonight about living life loud, making a loud and large impact for God. You know, like for me, for a lot of times when God's asked me to do certain things, I'm like, yeah, ask the mother of 12, God. You know, is there anyone else available? And so, you know, like, oh, I'm at uni. No, I've got 2 jobs. Oh, I'm about to get married. Oh, I've got 2 kids. You know, like we've all got reasons why, hello, God, not right now. But I had 12 kids, and God asked me to do a program called Shine, to go into the schools, to grab this tool and go into the schools. Within 4 weeks, a young girl felt safe enough and comfortable enough to come to us and share a secret. And the secret she shared saw her and five other friends go and speak to the constable of the school. And the next day they raided a grandfather's house, and he got 64 counts of pedophilia and 10 years jail. And so I could have sat at home and said, I've got 12 kids, a bit busy. But I said, no, God, if you want me to do this, I'll grab this tool, I'll grab this book, we'll go into the school. And we shone light into darkness, and that man is in jail too now. And those six girls are safe. So we can live life loud. We can make a large impact no matter what season we're in. And right now there's some incredible things happening in Darwin, really exciting things. I want to get my son up now just to share a bit of his testimony, some of the stuff that we've been up to up there. It's really, really exciting, a little bit different to anything you've ever heard in church. That's all good, yeah? Yeah, cool. Lewis, welcome my son, my little firstborn. Isn't he gorgeous?
Hello, guys. Son's going to quickly share my testimony. Okay, so pretty much I grew up in church my whole life, you know, but like Mom said, like I didn't really know God as much, but then I still remember the day about 2 years ago I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. You've probably heard of that, like when the Spirit comes in, you feel it and it's life-changing, you know. So I remember since that day I've always wanted to do something, like I've got to do something for Jesus, you know, and I didn't know what. So me and my friend were really pumped, so we decided that we'd start preaching at school. This was 2 years ago, I think, and we'd get out in the oval every Tuesday for about 7 weeks or something, and we just preached the gospel, and we had about 60 people rock up every week, and it was pretty good. But I realized that people weren't walking away set free, like their lives weren't being transformed, like they didn't encounter Jesus when we were speaking. So I was talking to my mentor about that, and I was like, you know, why, you know, what can I do differently so that they actually encounter Jesus and they walk away differently, you know? He's like, oh, well, Paul says in Corinthians that he didn't use wise and persuasive words, he is a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Right? So he started telling me, like, you know, we can actually heal the sick. We can pray for people. We can prophesy. We can do all these things. I was like, we can do that? Because I always thought you had to be gifted to do that. You know, I always thought it was those other guys that could heal people. But every single one of us can heal people. It's true. You know, so, so I've been asked to just quickly share a few stories with you guys about what's been happening in Darwin over the last 4 months or so. So a little while ago, I was walking down a place called Nycliffe Beach. And I was just walking, and then I'll just put this down. So I was walking, and then I saw this lady, and she had a thing on her arm. And I was like, you know, I've got nothing to lose, might as well try it out. And I went up to her, I was like, hey, can I just pray for your arm and see if Jesus heals you? And then her son was there, he's like, nah, mate, we're exercising, keep walking. So I was like, okay. So I kept walking, and then I saw a lady in a walker. She was getting walked around from one of her family members. And I was talking to the family for a bit, just loving them, and they were saying how she hasn't walked in 10 years. So I was like, you know, just for fun, can we just try pray for her, see what happens? And they were like, oh, sure, you know, anything. So I didn't do some magical prayer. I just said, like, right now, be healed. And then she got up and started walking. And her family was, like, going crazy. And then, family was, like, jumping all over the place. And then a guy came up to, like, dude, can you pray for my liver? I was like, sure, I prayed for him. And then he started bending down. Didn't do that before. Then he started running. Couldn't do that before. And then, like, a mini crowd started forming. And then this guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, like, I'm so sorry about before, but can you come pray for my mum? It was the same guy. And then, so I prayed for his mum, and the mum, she felt like all this pulling in her hand and everything. She got healed. But like, you see, like I could have just, like, I didn't get to pray for his mum from using wise and persuasive words. It was from him seeing the Spirit's power, right? So now it hasn't been that long. Like it's been like a few months, and I'm wanting to start up a little group of people that I can just share the gospel with them once a week. Right, and this is like last week we started it. But last night I was at the Mindle Beach Markets, if you guys have heard of that. It's really cool. And yeah, so pretty much me and a bunch of friends went and we prayed for heaps of people. Like we saw neck braces come off, arms get healed, legs, knees. This guy who had like this, he felt like bubbles whenever he moved, like you could feel it. It was like a fracture and then like it just went away. It was really cool. But then, so I busked there, I played drums there at the markets, and I was at the info desk, and I was just talking to my friend, like, you know, God is going to heal people tonight. She was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, no, like, seriously. And that guy overheard us. He's like, oh, dude, what church are you from? And instead of me talking about church and talking about what I do and all that stuff and telling him about Jesus, which is not a bad thing, you can still do that, I just grabbed his hand. I'm like, hey, I'm Lewis, and I didn't let go. I was like, I'm going to pray for you now. And he's like, okay. And then I've quickly prayed for him, and then I asked him what time he finished. He finished at 8. 8 o'clock came, he came out, saw some miracles with us. Then my friend, like, prayed for him. He counted Jesus. And now he's coming on Wednesday, which is pretty cool. And then in that same night, I saw a friend, and he was with someone who he's been praying for years. Like, he's been telling her about Jesus, like, really wanting her to come to Jesus for a while. And then he saw us, and she came along. I was praying for this lady who had a leg brace on, and she saw her get healed. And then I was talking to her, and I was like, do you want to feel Jesus? And she's like, yeah. And, like, it wasn't anything special. It was just, I didn't even touch her. I was just like, thank you, God, that you're going to touch her right now. And she felt it straight away. And then she said the prayer. And then she saw someone's ankle get healed straight away. And then, like, so now she's coming on Wednesday. It's really cool. So, like, I guess I just want to say to you guys, like, you know, you don't have to be special to go and pray for people. Like, everyone can do it. Like, the same spirit is in me that was in Jesus, you know. And then, like, yeah, don't ever think that you're not good enough to pray for people too. Like, to go out and just heal the sick. Because, like, God can use anybody who believes in him. Thank you. Yeah.
Is it okay if I just do a bit of teaching which has given us the revelation to be able to walk in this truth? And Lewis keeps praying. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay. All right. I had a prayer, guys. God's good, yeah? God's good. I had a prayer, you know. People would speak over me and say, you're an evangelist, you're this, you're that. And I had a prayer. And I'd be like, God, I just want to be able to walk into coffee shops and into restaurants. I want to be able to walk in and for people to say, oh, my goodness, I can feel like love coming off you. Or that they would feel love coming out of me without me even saying one thing, like Lewis said, you know, not just in talking and persuasive words, but in demonstration of power. So just a few months ago, I was in a coffee shop in Darwin, and I was sitting down with my friend, and we were trying to just have a coffee and just have a chat. And there was this waiter who was just hanging around and hanging around and hanging around. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, we already took our order. And he's like, I'm really sorry, but I'm feeling so much love come from you. I don't know what to do with it. I'm not sure why, but there's just so much love coming out of you that I can't leave this environment. And my friend was like, it's just Jesus in her. It's okay. You can go back to work, you know. It's just Jesus in her. It's not her. And I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. It says, so all of us who have had their veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Does anyone here tonight want to walk and talk? Jesus said, I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. Do you want to say what Jesus said on the earth? And do you want to do what Jesus did on the earth? Because Jesus said, greater works will you do as I go and be with my Father. Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Everything that you've seen tonight is available to every single one of us who is born again and has how the veil has been torn. It's been torn. We have full access to God, our Heavenly Father. Who has had the veil removed, guys? Who? What did the scripture say? So all of us have had the veil removed and can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. When did the veil get removed, guys? Bit of Bible here. When did the veil get removed? In Matthew 27, it says, and when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, we're here at Live Life Loud. When Jesus cried out in a loud voice, it is finished. He gave up his spirit, and at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. And I feel like God has a word for Adelaide, for all of you, the future leaders, and the current leaders of this beautiful city. And it is this. I believe that as we live life loud, as we raise our voices from a place of knowing our authority, knowing that we are sons and daughters of the living God, he's not a dead, he's surely alive, and he's roaring like a lion, living on the inside. And as we know our authority and we know who we are and we know that we walk in this world, but we're not of the same substance. When we know who we belong to, the people in our lives and the people of the city of Adelaide will be shaken, and people's eyes are going to be open, and the truth, they will be set free, that on the cross, Jesus Christ finished it. It is finished. The veil has been removed. It's been torn from the top to the bottom. If the veil, which was so high, was torn from the top to the bottom, was the man on the bottom tearing the veil? Or do you think it was God himself saying, enough, the price has been paid. Now I want to be in relationship with my sons and daughters. God himself. There is nothing in all of creation that can keep us from the love of God. On the cross, he took away the sins of the world. Jesus was absolutely pure. This is a bit of a great distraction, isn't it? This is so like, it's all happening. It's like, wow. Can we give God the glory for all these people? It's like, it's so dynamic tonight. But these truths that I'm speaking are the reason why Lewis and I are walking in the revelation. It's why we're walking in the glory of God. It's from this truth, which comes from this Bible, which is called Good News. It's called the Good News Bible. The definition of purity is that something that has no flaws or foreign substances, something that light or glory can show through. Jesus shone with the glory of God because he was 100% pure and without sin. And on the cross, he said, I'm going to take away a little bit of the world's sins. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? On the cross, he said, it is finished. The Lamb took away all the sins of the world. On the cross, he took away all the sins of the world. And so that's the whole world, and that's you and me. If you're born again here tonight, can you raise your hand? You are born again and you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Anyone? Born again. Relationship with God. If you're born again, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living on the inside of you. So we can shine his glory wherever we go every day. And we become what we behold. We become what we behold. In John 17, Jesus went up to the Father and he said this, the same glory that you gave me, Father, I've given to them. Can we even understand what that just meant? The same glory that you gave me, Father, I have given them. The same magnificence, the same beauty, the same praise, the same honor that you gave me, Father, I've given to them. Check it out in John 17. We must believe by faith. I was with my son Lewis at the Woolworths in Darwin, and we were walking, and it was 9 o'clock at night, and we were heading home. 9 o'clock at night, and there was a lady in front of us with her ankle like this. And God said, heal her ankle, like I'm going to heal her ankle. And I'm like, it's really late. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're going to get home and just put the shopping away, God. Such a distraction, God. So we went up to this lady. We're like, hi, what happened to your ankle? She goes, I sprained it and I've been on crutches and it's really bad, you know. We're like, okay, can we pray for it? And she looked at us and she goes, no. And I said, you know, a lot of people in Darwin are getting healed right now. The pain's going to instantly be gone. And she was like, really? And we're like, yeah. I'm like, out of 10, how much is the pain? She goes, about a 9. I'm like, okay. So we prayed for her, and she went, whoa, I felt that. Whoa, you guys got to go pray for everybody. That's amazing. Whoa. And then I said to her, what's your name? And she said her name, and she goes, I'm actually the opposition leader of the government here in the NT. We're like, bonus, when did that happen? Cool for you. The pain went from a 9 out of 10 to about a 1 or 2, like it was gone. God healed her. And you know, I think it says in the Bible, we are healed by grace. It's through faith. So when we went up to her and we said, your ankle's going to get healed, and we declared that thing which wasn't real at the time to be real, it released God's grace. And when the grace of God was released, then the saving happened. And the word saving comes from the Greek word sozo, which means delivered, set free. And it's encompassing everything we'll ever need. It's not just the saving born again experience. It's a Greek word sozo. So she was saved by grace through faith. What's the faith component of that message? It was Lewis and I saying, your ankle will get healed because God's a good God. We declared it. We said it. We laid hands on her. Grace was released and she received her healing. If we want to walk by impurity, if we want to be those people that walk into our schools, our environments, our workplaces, so much so that when you walk in, people go, whoa, what is it about you? I can feel love come out of you. Oh my gosh, the glory of the Lord. Was it Paul that walked and his shadow healed the sick? if you want to be that person for Jesus in this next, you know, God is moving on the earth, you want to be a part of this generation where, you know, God is doing something on the planet, if you want to be that person, it's simple. It was done on the cross already. You already have it in you, and you receive it by faith, by grace through faith. You actually just wake up in the morning and go, it is finished. It is finished. It is done. It is available to me. It is available to me. It says in the Bible, as he is, so are we in the world. As Jesus is, where is Jesus right now? Seated in the right hand of the Father. Is Jesus depressed? Yes or no? Is Jesus worried? Is Jesus angry? Is he frustrated? God said, I've made you in my image. My image. And so in my life, I had to look at myself and go, why am I angry? Why am I frustrated? Because I'll tell you, someone I do know is frustrated and angry. He's called Satan. He's the devil. And he's come to rob, steal, and destroy our joy and our life. And so my question to myself was, on any particular day, am I bearing the image of Jesus? Or am I more bearing and, you know, going into my world with the image of the ugly one? Which one am I doing most of the time? And I said to him, you know what, devil? You're not using me anymore. No, no. Because I have been set free and it is finished. And all joy and pleasures more are available to me. And I make a decision when I wake up in the morning that I'm going to have joy. And I make a decision in the morning that even though I'm feeding 15 people every day and I've got a lot of cooking and cleaning to do, that I'm going to have freedom and I'm going to have fire and I'm going to have love and I'm going to walk into places and say, the glory of the Lord will fill this place because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. As Christians, we shouldn't look like everyone else. We shouldn't act like everyone else. We should only say what Father is saying. We should only do what the Father is doing because as he is in the world, so are we. I'll go back to my notes now. You know, it's just making a decision that whatever the book says about me is what I'm going to follow. As we behold his glory, we become more and more the reflection of his glory, and then we can bring his glory wherever we go. Behold, become, and then bring it. Hey, this generation in Adelaide, future leaders, current leaders, behold his glory, behold Jesus, behold the Father. Become the glory of God, and then you will bring it wherever you go in Jesus' name. Do you believe me? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Those of you who don't believe it won't have it, and those of you who do believe it tonight and walk out of these doors believing it, you're going to have it. You're going to have it because it's in the Bible. To live life loud, we need to live life from the quiet place. The quiet place where we spend time with our Father, where we love him. Do you know that there are people who are doing drugs, doing alcohol, having sex with a lot of people, and you know, that was bringing them a few pleasures and then became a born-again Christian. Do you think God takes us out of that life that brings a little bit of pleasure to give us less pleasure by coming and having time with him? I promise you. The Father, as we behold him and we become like him and we spend time with him, is amazing pleasures. He's not like that. He's not going to take you from one environment to give you less. He's going to give you more. In him are pleasures forevermore. In him is every delight. In him is... everyone's praying now. It's so good. God does not free us from the world and its pleasures to bring us to a place with him that's less pleasurable. That is not the Father's heart. There is no greater pleasure than being one with the Father. Jesus said this, oh, that they would be one as we are one. That is available to every single one of us. Jesus said, if you truly believe me, and the Word and Jesus are one, if you truly believe what's in this Bible, if you truly believe it, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What did Jesus do? He healed everyone. He raised the dead. He walked on water and he ascended. He levitated. He said, you're going to do greater things than that. How many here have levitated? How many here have walked on water? How many have walked through walls? How many have raised the dead? How many have healed the sick? Don't you want more? Don't you want more? It's available to you. It's all available to us. It's all there. It's just here. Grab it. Believe it. It's by faith. Release His grace and you can have everything you want. Because it's not about us. It's about those people out there that don't know Him. They don't know Him. They're going to a lost eternity. They don't know the love of the Father. I was at the doctor's, and I'm going to come to an end now and finish up. Gone a little bit over time with all of this crazy miracles. I was at the doctor's the other day with Lewis. We hang out a lot. And we were sitting there, and I had a best friend at school, and I looked around, and her mum and dad were there, yeah? Her mum and dad were at the doctor's surgery. And I noticed the father was just like, oh, and I'm just like, oh. I went up, I said hello, I thanked them for all the times they picked me up in their combi, all good, so sweet. And I said to him, what's going on? And he said, about 3 days ago, this pain started. And he goes, I think it's something really serious. And I'm thinking, oh, geez. So he's at the doctor's, it's really serious. And I said, oh, I know, well, I'll pray. Sometimes you forget. And so he's like, what? And I'm like, you know, pray? He's a beautiful Italian man. I'm like, pray? And he goes, what? I said, pray. He goes, what? So foreign to him. Pray, what is that? P-R-A-Y, you know. And his wife goes, you know, pray. And he's like, oh. And then I just went, he sort of said, yes. So I just put my hand on his back and said, Jesus. And he said it was not any better. So the pain was still there. So we went to the doctors. We came back. But you know what I was thinking? The gospel works. It should have worked. What's the problem? It's the gospel. The gospel works. I'm like, it's got to work. And it's like, I just don't want to give up. It works. As I was walking out, the wife grabbed my arm. And she goes, guess what, Anna? The pain's all gone. I was like, get out of here. And I looked at him and I was like, for real, is the pain gone? He's like, thank you. And she looked at me and she went, we feel silly being here now. Well, what are we going to say to the doctors, you know? And I was just like, wow, sometimes it just takes that 10 minutes, do you know what I mean? That 15 minutes. And then it was a funny story. I heard a few weeks later that as he was walking out of the doctors, he goes, next time, I don't worry about going to the doctors. I'll just go to their house. If you're here tonight and you need a miracle, let us introduce you to the Prince of Peace, the Miracle Maker. Love has a name, and His name is Jesus. And if you don't know Him here tonight, I want to get the worship band up. We're going to play a song. I want you to think about what you've heard and what you've seen tonight. I want you to think about it. If you've been maybe invited by a friend here tonight, and you're pretty much sitting there and just going, what just happened, you know? God is real. He's not dead. He's doing what He did 2,000 years ago today, and He'll do it forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is alive, and God is bringing it. He's bringing it. God is passionate, and He loves you, and God sends His Son Jesus to die on a cross so that He can have a relationship with you. So what we're going to do now is going to enter into worship. We're going to just contemplate what God's been saying here tonight. Yeah, is that good? Is that good? Can we give God a hand? Yeah? Amen?